What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 14 of the Coffee Club Pod. Merry Christmas.
I'm so excited we're doing a Christmas special.
Yeah.
Christmas special is the best. Like, every good show has a Christmas special.
Are there any other podcasts in the running world that have Christmas specials like this?
Tell you, Citrus Mag ain't doing no Christmas specials.
No, Citrus Mag ain't doing that.
Coffee Club, Coffee Club. Grind your beans and grab your favorite mug. It's Ollie Morgan, George and Gus. It's them boys from Coffee Club. Boys from Coffee Club.
Ho, 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 and Merry Christmas. I hope that you guys are all watching episode 212 of the Coffee Club podcast on Christmas Day, as it was meant to be, because that is the day that this episode comes out. And the three of us would just like to start off today by saying Merry Christmas to you all.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, Ollie.
Merry Christmas. Yeah. Merry Christmas, guys.
Actually, in Australia, I guess this comes out on Friday.
Ollie's the day ahead.
Apologies to our Down Under loyal fans. Happy Boxing Day.
Have a good Boxing Day.
Yeah, so you can celebrate that. But we're so happy to have Ollie join us today all the way from Australia. And he's sporting a new look, so we believe there's a bit of a story behind it. So what's going on there?
The Australian sun must be powerful.
Oh, mate, it's hot down here, boys. It's hot down here. It has been a heat wave. But the story behind my head is my dad.
He's bleach blonde, by the way, for the audio listeners.
Yeah, for people listening, I've got a shorter haircut and I bleach blonde my hair, which is not a unusual thing for me to do. But I did have a mullet beforehand.
I suppose your mullet lasted like a week. Didn't you just get that done?
Hated it. My mom, I just got it done. Yeah, my mom hated it. She hated it in Hawaii. I thought it looked good.
I thought it looked good,
but she hated it. So she's like, "Can you please cut it for Christmas?" And I said, "For Christmas, Mom, of course I'll cut it. But I might do something else to it because I'm bored and see what I could do with it." And then my dad, he's never dyed his hair before, and because I was doing it last year, he wanted to do it. So he's like, "Oh, we should do a father-son haircut and get our hair dyed." And he has a mate called Peter McKim, and his partner, wife, has her own hairstyle. So she did it for us, and she was fantastic. She was incredible. But it was funny because I don't know if you guys, I think Morgan had maybe experienced something similar, but when you put bleach or dye in your hair, your scalp, it feels like bull ants on your scalp. Like, it's like pretty uncomfortable.
Yeah, it sounds
healthy.
It's bleach.
Yeah, my dad was backing out severely. He like put it on and he was like, "No, it hurts." So we put him in a little chair near an air conditioner to like give it cool air, so his scalp wouldn't, you know, burn. I was a pro. I had the Glad wrap on. I was walking around having a beer, having a chat. But he did his hair and he's got same, like, he's a bit more blonde than my hair. My hair's a bit wider than his, but he has his hair bleached blonde as well as me.
So I gotta see that.
So you and Greg are matching bleach blonde for Christmas. That's so wholesome.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
And so how does mom feel together about that?
Does she want you to go back to the mullet?
My mom way preferred this than the mullet, but she did say that dad and I look funny, but apparently that's what I looked like as a kid. I had blonde hair as a kid, so she said it doesn't look too crazy for dad and for me. But
yeah, me too.
That's the new haircut. The new haircut was a father son blonde episode. So
I love it.
I gotta send a photo of that, you and Greg together. I gotta see this.
Yeah, I'll send it over.
Wait.
Oh,
sorry.
If he comes to the door, I'll grab him.
But, please do. Not to interrupt, but I was about to segue into a bean shout out, and then have you read what's on the back of the bag? Did you guys see what's on the back of these Hawaii bags? Bottom right?
Coffee Club? Wow.
It says Coffee Club on it.
I didn't see that, actually.
That's magnificent. But little bean shout out, a little bit overdue, but from Hawaii, they're all given to Ollie. Ollie, if you want to take us away.
Yeah, so when we finished the race, the meet organizers kind of wanted to interact with a lot of the fans that came out and stood out to watch us. Which is pretty sick. Everyone got to run out and thank everyone for making a pretty amazing experience. And when I came back, Andrew gave me two bags for the boys.
From Tradition Coffee Roasters?
Yeah.
He was wearing a coffee club shirt. But these are all Hawaiian beans from what I've been told. So that was pretty cool. He gave us two bags, which was extremely kind of him to do because I know the three of us fight over beans, but now George and Morgan, with me being in Australia, they have a bag each that they can use. And then we got two other bags of beans from Bonnie. And they're also, I think, Kona beans.
Yeah, these ones are from Coffees of Hawaii. Oh, and one of them is from Koa Coffee. Yeah, they're all from Hawaii, roasted in Hawaii.
All Hawaiian, which is very cool. So we appreciate you, Bonnie and Andrew, for giving us some lovely beans that we can enjoy from Hawaii, take us back to the sunny beaches. And we appreciate that very much. So I know they wanted to see George, but I think he was also doing some stuff for the documentary and also catching up with fans. So, but we had a great fan engagement after that race, and it was great to see so many of you guys out there. So appreciate you guys so much for coming to support George and I. And it was great to see you all.
There were lots of good Coffee Club fans out there. I couldn't believe, I forgot to tell you last week, Mark, how many Japanese fans I had after the race.
Obviously,
there's already lots of Japanese people running the marathon. It's like sponsored by Japan Airlines, and it's like I feel like half the race is Japanese, maybe more. So, and there's already they already love Hawaii, but there were just lots of Japanese people wanting a photo with me. It was really cool, and like talking about worlds, which was fun.
One of them was like, shout out.
One of them said, next time, it was like, congrats in Tokyo. Next time, Mira will beat you. It was really funny.
I do need a shout out just to stay on Hawaii for a little bit longer. My mom actually went to pick up the bib because she did the mile race. And she said that it was very much predominantly Japanese, like they're Japanese speaking. And there's a lot of like the sponsors are Japanese sponsors. So it's a very big meet for them, I imagine. But I'd like to shout out Kate Hall for being a champion of her age group in the mile.
She ran fast.
She was the first runner out of, I think, four or five in her age group. From 60 to 65, I think that was the age group. She ran 7 minutes and 20 seconds for the mile.
Jeez.
So congratulations to Kate Hall.
She's fit. Cooking.
Champion of Hawaii. She's got her little certificate and a little medal. So she's very very proud of that achievement. So I just shout her out in the pod, running news in the Hall family.
That's big.
But yeah.
I bet that age conversion is probably like 420 something.
Oh yeah, she would have won the whole thing. She told me if she was, yeah.
Maybe that's approaching world record.
Approaching world record pace, yeah.
I wonder what world record road mile is for that age group.
Exactly.
60 to 65.
It can't be that
She was
much
telling Laura time. She's waiting for a contract. She's like, I'm waiting for my contract now. Just going to sit over here.
Yeah, she should come out for a little training camp. Come do the whole shebang.
Recruiting trip.
Did you give her a pair of shoes to racing?
She raced in the Cloud Monster Void, I think.
So great choice.
She enjoyed that. Yeah, she enjoyed that.
Good
she did some
ride.
Training right beforehand, so like 2-3 days of running in Hawaii. She ran 30 minutes.
Did she do the Japanese turn?
She didn't do the Japanese turn. She said that she cut in and actually ran because my mum's a bit more shorter and compact. She was able to kind of get around with her center of gravity being a lot lower than us tall boys. So
Ollie said he was going to do the Japanese turn.
What is the Japanese turn?
I was,
you ever
seen
that? 270?
Yeah.
Or I guess
it's
a 180 the
like
other way.
Like an alley-oop.
They do that?
Well, they didn't in the mile. I thought I want to see Nozomi throw it down in the women's race.
But in like an Ekiden, that's like a thing?
And like, in like marathons and I think maybe you have to be, if you're running slightly slower.
Dude.
Yeah, they throw in the alley-oop.
That's straight out of an anime, I swear. Fucking love it.
It's so sick.
Love that shit. Mad respect.
I think there's no way it's faster.
it's definitely not physically faster, but I can understand maybe the emotional and mental gains that you would get from throwing in that move, and then you would probably come out of the turn just like ready to go.
Maybe it's a little easier on the post-tib around the corner.
It definitely is easier on the muscles, but yeah, maybe not for the right reasons. Maybe just because you would... turns
you
much
slower.
But hey, that's epic. I gotta watch a compilation of those.
They're on Instagram for sure.
Good.
So when you get back on there, first get in a compilation of that.
First thing. So I think it's time for us to get into a little Christmas spirit. It's been, well, here in Boulder, unfortunately, it has not been Christmas weather. It's just been warm and extremely windy. So here on the pod, maybe we can speak into existence some Christmas vibes and perhaps get a white Christmas. I would much enjoy that this year. Actually, George, you're not even going to be here either. So it'll just be me. You guys are both going to be in beautiful, warm weather, which when you're down in Australia, dude, that's a fucking nice way to spend your Christmas. So very jealous of you. I'm sure you go for a nice swim at the beach or something on Christmas Day. Is that your kind of routine?
Yeah. Catch up with family, hit the beach. Hopefully the surf's good. I brought my board, so. Yeah, it's been beautiful down here every morning. It's getting busy, though. It's very, very busy down at the beach. So it's good to see people taking advantage of our lovely weather and our lovely coastline. So we're going to take a part of that.
Love that. But here on the pod, we were going to start off with a little list of things that we are thankful for this year. Practice our gratitude. So I'm going to put it out to you boys. Is there anything top of mind that we are thankful for this beautiful year of 2025 in the coffee club / running world?
Oof. Ollie, you got anything?
I guess I could do like a running world and then like a my world kind of situation. I guess when it comes to the running world, I'm thankful for Grant. No,
you missed a good one last week, Ollie. We're gonna run it back when you're here.
I heard from my I think friends or my parents were listening to it and they very much enjoyed it. The one thing I'm thankful for in the running community, most definitely for me, is my teammates. I feel like it has been a very, very long few years of constant world championships, Olympics competing. And that's been a very, very difficult time. I imagine to not have a year where it's a bit more quieter when it comes to those major championships. And I would like to be thankful for, in the running world, my teammates for just being great ambassadors for the sport, as well as being good company when it comes to training and competing and being in that high stress environment. So, which includes you too, obviously, but also, you know, Yard and all of our other teammates, Sage, Alicia, Cinta, Gazette.
Yeah, keep naming them.
Good luck.
Maya, Olivia.
Keep going. Come on. Whole Robert, Coffee Club track club, please. Keep going.
The whole Coffee Club track club. Mario, Dylan Jacobs, Kai Robinson. I don't know if I have forgotten anyone.
I lost track.
You did better than I thought. But I thought you were going to stop after one.
Well, I'd like to be thankful for all of them.
That was a good one.
It's hard to go back-to-back-to-back major championships, and everyone's done so well and had some highs and lows. And as a community, I think we've done, as an OEC community, we've done so well supporting each other and also just being great competitors and great friends. So I'm thankful for that, and I'm excited for this coming year for you, like the smaller, not the smaller things, but the championships that really mean a lot to people, like Europeans and Com Games.
Don't even say that, Ollie. Don't even say smaller things. What are you talking about? We got the Com Games champion right here.
No, brother. I'm not saying that smaller. Brother. I'm saying more smaller than like the, maybe the little meets, like Sound Running or, you know, stuff like that.
Okay, looking forward
to seeing them run well at those. But looking forward to watching my teammates compete at those meets that really matter, which are the Europeans and the comms.
Sound Running Cross.
And then my other thankful spot in my personal life, I'd like to be very, very thankful to my our CEO, Gus and Tom Wang, holding the ship for Coffee Club, and my immediate support group. Definitely Gus looking after my finances and things like that. I appreciate you, Gus. Thank you very much. Your tireless effort of lying on the couch and making sure everything's tip-top shape is always special. And I'm thankful for Meg as well for putting up for my shit for another year and learning more about running. So she's starting to learn about all the running stuff. She said that all the posts and everything like that, she's starting to understand them a bit more, which is very cool.
Does she know how many laps your race is?
She does. She said that the funny thing with her, she said, you know how you have the algorithm where your algorithm, like when you are on social media, it has like all these different things that you have similar interests in. She said at one point she pressed the magnified glass and it's just all George Beamish because it's all Sidious Mag stuff, which he was. And she's like, wow, it's just like crazy when stuff like that blows up and then it's just everywhere, particularly when you show interest in it. So, but I appreciate Meg so much for being a supportive partner and diving into the running world from an outside perspective. It's very sweet of her. And who knows, maybe she might be a really good coach in the future. She could start coaching at Littleton somewhere. But yeah, those are things I'm thankful for. Obviously my family, and thankful for you guys as we do every year. I'm thankful that my coffee machine hasn't broken yet too. So
it's huge.
You've set the bar quite high there, Ollie.
Well, he's just always covering all the foundations. Friends, family. I thought you were going to say something more like, I'm thankful that Grand Slam failed. Like, you know what I mean?
But it hasn't failed yet. It hasn't failed yet.
It's pretty failed.
The season two trailer is coming out.
They're setting up for the comeback. You are correct. Yeah. The bigger the fall, the greater the comeback.
And Jordy, this time it's 100,000. It's going to 200,000, right? Right. And they've actually cut down more of the event because they realized that, like, what's the sport going to need? We need to cut more of the event. So it's just 400 and 400 hurdles. And it's $200,000. And it's in major stadiums, like the Mile High Stadium. It's going to be there. It's going to be at the Madison Square Garden Stadium. So they're really just, they say, why don't we just take it up a notch? I think it needs to go up the next level after this first season. So I'm excited to see that. Tickets are priced between $3,000 to $4,000.
As they should.
What I've checked with the sneak peek season, and Morgan McDonald and George Beamish will be commentating. I'll be working on their contracts for that.
No, we signed a media deal with them, but we're not allowed to publicize that. So actually, we have to keep that a secret. But we've signed a big 7-figure media deal with them.
It's the biggest deal we've ever seen in track and field commentary. That's what I've heard.
Agreed.
So, as it should be.
As it should be. Exactly.
Lovely. George, what do you got for us?
Okay, that's hard to follow up. But I'm feeling thankful for, I'm going to say, just the Boulder community. As everyone knows, I was Team Flagstaff for a long time. And I'm still Team Flagstaff a little bit. But I have to say, in the last year, I think, Boulder has grown on me. And I'm enjoying being in Boulder more than I ever have.
Dude, it's crazy what winning a world championship would do for you.
I was going to follow it up with I'm enjoying the sport more than I ever have, and not just because I swear it's not.
You have
just
to win a world championship.
Yeah.
It's not. It's got nothing to do with that. At least,
I believe you. No, I believe you. Keep talking.
So good.
All right. No, I think, okay, fine. No one's going to believe me, but I'm enjoying the sport more than I ever have, I think, and enjoying being in Boulder more than I have in previous years. And I just look forward to showing up to practice every day. And I miss Boulder when I'm not here. It's kind of crazy. And I still think Flagstaff's a great place, but Boulder has grown on me the last few years. Or just I don't know when I started noticing it, but I was like, you know what, maybe Boulder's not so bad. I ever thought it was bad.
Is that how Flagstaff was when you were there? Like when you were first there, was everyone like making fun of you for how much for like New Zealand being like the best place? And then after
I never even talk about Flagstaff. It's only Ollie.
Yeah, well done, Ollie. Put George and you put him in a box. He's
well. Let's just say that George is experiencing Boulder. Is like, well, you know, maybe it's not so bad, but I think what's happened here is probably Mike Smith has messaged George and said, Boulder's a great place to be. You're doing great, you know, congratulations. And then George is like,
I've been brainwashed.
Mike has given the blessing. Mike has given the blessing. He's given the blessing to Boulder, which is incredible.
You said incredible thing.
So thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Mike and Ollie.
Thanks, Mike.
So, yeah, that's what I'm thankful for.
Well, I guess I got to follow up in a similarly wholesome. See, you never know with these things if we're going to go tongue in cheek like ironic. Well, today, this year, we've decided to be incredibly wholesome. So I'm going to continue on and echo from these boys just the thankfulness that I have for the whole Coffee Club community, for us here, top manager Tom Wang, everyone that's involved, Noah doing a bunch of the work this year, Jack on the graphics, everyone that's behind the scenes, and everyone that is a part of the community as a whole. Because to be honest, this year for me personally could be described as a turbulent year. It didn't really feel that turbulent, to be honest, because everything kind of felt pretty chill, actually. Not really, but you know, I had a lot of ups and downs. Well, mostly downs this year. I didn't really have many ups. And one constant there was the Coffee Club podcast and the whole universe and the support from all the fans out there and from the guys. And you know, it's nice, especially because at this point we, like, you know, we've been doing it for so long now, and even related specifically to the podcast, you know, we have ups and downs in terms of motivation or availability, and you know, we try our best to find a way to put it out, and no matter what, it's met with such awesome kindness from all the fans out there. Even when we go through the moments where, you guys can probably tell, maybe it was a bit more difficult for us to get an episode out that week, or if we had to take a couple weeks off, you know. And that constant, that constant love and just celebration of the sport and what we do specifically is something that I think is so special and so amazing, and something to really be cherished, and it's something I'm very thankful for. So yeah, thanks guys. Was that wholesome enough?
Well, that was the icing on the cake, right?
That
there.
Was, I think that was the most wholesome. I think that was fantastic.
That was a wholesome off.
There it was.
The three of us had a little wholesome off there.
The competition. To see
who could be the most thankful this year?
Yeah. No, I got.
No, I'm the most
thankful. No,
I love it.
Morg's right. I was telling someone recently, I was like, yeah, we're at 200 and something. I was like, wait, 52 times... That's 4 years.
I tell you, like, it is crazy. I find it crazy that we did episode 100 here. Like, with, because the first 100 episodes, you know, I feel like there was like a lot of stuff happening all the time. And obviously, there's been an equal amount of stuff happening in the last 100, but it's felt so consistent.
The second 100 went by a lot quicker.
Dude, I think we're getting old. We must be getting real.
We're just having too much fun. Yeah. Too much fun.
Did we start doing 2 a week or something?
Yeah, that second, like, that feels like a blink of the eyes. Episode 100, yeah. I swear. It does not feel like over 2 years, which, yeah, absolutely wild. So, I don't know. What episode did we say we were doing until?
Ollie probably gave a number.
I can't remember.
420, probably.
Yeah. We'll see if we can get... Hey.
We thought we were only going to get to 69 the first time.
Yep.
Yeah.
We just busted past halfway there. So, look at us go. And it's been an amazing ride. And yeah, hopefully we can keep it going to infinity and beyond, as a good friend Buzz Lightyear said.
I think 2026 is going to be year of the chicken boy. I think it's time. Don't you think, Ollie?
Dude.
I agree.
I've been trying to tell everyone that. No, I'm kidding.
Is there a year of the chicken? Is that one of the Chinese zodiac years?
If the rat got a year, then you would think the chicken would get a year.
Me and you are rat. We're rat. 1996 is a rat.
What are you? Are you like a dragon or some shit?
I'm an ox.
Ox, even better.
See, something tells me there's not a chicken.
Dude, because they pick...
I feel like they might be.
I feel like Chinese culture loves chickens. And I say that with little to no insight.
2026 is the horse.
Right.
Is horse.
No one's got time for that.
There's a rooster. There's no chicken, but there is a rooster.
Rooster boy Morgan... 2026.
Maybe you need a rebrand.
Actually, I'll say that for 2027 when the world champs is in. Is it in Beijing?
Yeah.
We'll do a little rebrand for that, and we'll. Okay, that's in the works right now. We'll make that happen.
Rooster boy.
It kind of just makes sense, I guess.
That's like that. What's it called in Pokemon? Where you like
evolution?
That is what it's called. You're gonna evolve into Rooster Boy.
I'm going to work on that. I'm going to go farm some XP so that I can evolve
into
Rooster.
You're going to go Chicken Boy, Rooster Man.
Rooster Man. Ooh, nice. That's well done. A little double evolution like that.
that's two levels away, though.
Yeah, that's my
favorite. Yeah, it is 2 levels away. Yeah.
And I got, you know, 2 years, so it's perfect timing. We'll make it happen.
Spot on.
Make it happen.
So that is our thankfulness. And now we are going to finish off the Christmas episode. Well, we still have a bit left, but the second half of our Christmas, moving on from the thankfulness, is our wish list for next year. And this is, it is an interesting year because we have been doing this podcast in a time, as Ollie alluded to earlier, in a time of constant world championships and whenever you, or slash Olympics. And whenever you have that, that is the, you know, that's what the whole year is based around. It kind of writes itself, the schedules. This past year, we've had a nice little interruption to that with, on top of that, we had the excitement of Grand Slam. But in general, you guys know the deal. And next year is a different year. For us, we still have the Comm Games, which is very much so on the minds of all of us. But do we have anything else that we are thinking of in terms of a wish list? I think, you know, this would go to Santa Claus, but I think maybe we could envision that Seb Coe gets to read it on the way to the North Pole. Perhaps it stops over in, where does he live again? Monaco, where all the rich people live?
Santa? Oh, see.
Maybe, no, he just has residency there. Just tax reasons, but...
I got a Christmas wish.
Give it to us.
Which I think is just a wish because I don't think it's going to happen. But wish list, hey, on the wish list,
so there will
be ultimate champs to for it to have a steeple.
Yeah.
I put Aisha on the job. Well, that's what we were doing. Aisha, between Aisha and Matt Hughes, both on the commission.
True.
Both lit.
What are they doing?
No steeple. Too many people told me after Tokyo that it was entertaining enough that this just seems like there's no reason it shouldn't be.
Yeah,
but there's also a couple of weirder ones that aren't there. I don't know why men's shot isn't there. Anyway, that's on my wish list.
The hammer's there.
That's a bad wish.
Hungarians love hammer.
The hammer is massive. But also, I feel like the steeple would also be massive in Budapest. So hopefully they put that in.
Yeah, I thought you were going to wish for the 10K, George. So I'm surprised that you ended up going with the steeple. But
well, I could only have one. Well. I could only put one of it on there.
Fair enough.
They could sneak in. They could sneak in 8 minutes on that program, I'm sure.
Yeah, is it a 2-hour window? What's going on here? I don't even know the specifics.
It's probably 3 days long.
3 days long?
Mm.
You would think that in three days you could fit a steeple.
You would think so.
Heat and final, surely. That's even longer than that, just one race.
No, straight final.
Yeah, it'd be a straight final.
Yeah, it'd be one race.
Yeah.
That's what I got.
Yeah.
Anyone else got a wish? A Christmas wish?
I have a wish.
Go ahead then.
It's to do with Grand Slam. shocker, but I wish that the Grand Slam athletes will get paid.
Keep dreaming, buddy.
I feel like, in particular, well, the three of us didn't have to compete. We didn't get to compete at Grand Slam, unfortunately, right? None of us. George was maybe close. Yeah. Well, we know people that did compete, and it's a lot of money. So I'm hoping my wish list is that next year there can be funds that are found, or fundraising. I think GoFundMe or
dude, maybe. Michael Johnson just starts a GoFundMe. Can you imagine?
I mean, I would say if you want to, if you're Michael, if you're Commissioner Gordon and you're in a position like that, I would do whatever I can to get those athletes the money because I thought Commissioner Gordon was athlete first. That's what I thought was the situation here. Like, this league was made for athlete first, you know? So
turns out it was athlete last.
Well, it depends on how much he got paid from Grand Slam. I know he went, but we'll say if there's like maybe the sponsors or something that comes out and just helps pay those athletes, that would be my wish, is to see those athletes getting paid, because I would also be kind of annoyed. Particularly, like, I mean, how is Kerr going to survive without his second Cybertruck? Like, it's just not fair. Like,
no, he deserves
you
that.
You need to give that boy his second fight, you know, Cybertruck. So he should be getting paid. But yeah, jokes aside, though, I hope those athletes get paid. I mean, it'd be nice to see that. That's my wish.
So selfless of you.
That's my wish for it all. And, yeah, I mean, also Chicken Boy League, you know, could also buy Grand Slam at this point. I'm sure it's at negative, what, a couple million?
Yeah, I think you get paid to buy it right now. I think that's how that works.
Yeah.
Literally, and I don't know if we actually talked about this last week because it's something that I was thinking about, but I don't think we'd mentioned it. I was thinking about like what the value of Grand Slam is. And I think the only thing that they have that is valuable is an Instagram page with 100K plus followers that are of track fans. I think that's probably the only thing that they could reasonably like sell. And so we could buy that, change the name.
Maybe the name.
Change the profile picture. Maybe the name. And then we could start the Chicken Boy League. And I think that could be a good kind of like leap pad to start off at. But yeah, I think, actually, I just wanted to mention, I find it so funny. Just I'm reflecting on this year that the whole Kerr Cybertruck thing. Do you guys remember that apparently he said like it's not even his Cybertruck?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that?
He like rented it one time, didn't he?
Yeah.
For like a day or something.
Oh, dude.
It's way funnier pretending he had one.
I feel like that's worse.
Yeah, I feel like
him, that's way funnier.
Because when I don't know if we watched the full video, but he definitely made it seem like it was his Cybertruck. Because didn't he literally say word for word that, well, I guess this was a joke, but he said everyone else was getting Teslas, so he had to upgrade to the Cybertruck.
I guess had to one up him, yeah.
Yeah. Dude, we gotta watch some of those YouTube videos.
Wouldn't you rent like a Porsche or something?
Cybertruck.
Like a nice car?
Gotta show his support. But
no.
That is a nice wish.
You're in the Cybertruck.
Rest in peace. But. Oh, dude, I'm trying to think about my wish list because, you know, it could go a few ways. I think, and just selfishly, my wish is to stay healthy, not get injured. I mean, I wish that every year, so that's not actually like a very exciting wish. But I would love for this sport as a whole to really rally around all the great events that are going to happen in this coming year that aren't World Champs / Olympics. Because, I mean, we talk about this all the time. Like, what the Olympics and the World Champs bring to our sport is amazing, but for there to be more long-term consistent success, it can't fully rely on them. And this year, I'm sure that the Diamond League is going to absolutely shine, especially with the Ultimate Championships at the end of the year, which I guess is separate from the Diamond League. It is kind of interesting if you think about it because it's not like technically related to the Diamond League, but the Diamond League is going to be essentially like the qualifying for it in a way because those will be the best races to get your ranking points up.
That's true.
So they are very related nonetheless, and I think those are going to be amazing. But also, I think that all the second tier events that that World Athletics is putting on, I mean, I hope that they can flourish and be amazing. We've talked about them all. Obviously, beginning off with World Cross is at the start of the year. Going to be an awesome celebration. And then you have World Indoors, which it's not really second. It's just second tier compared to like the Olympics. And then you have World Road Running. And I think...
I think all those things will be better than they normally are too. Like I think World Cross will be significantly stronger than Serbia. I think World Indoors will be significantly better than Nanjing or wherever it was. I think, well, I guess... World Road, the bar was set pretty low in San Diego once it was cancelled. So I'm sure that's going to be better than it was last time. There are so many exciting ones to like, and that's why I'm like, yeah, Steeplechase Nogme Ultimate, but I'm so excited for everything
just great racing
else that is happening next year, and all the way from January to September.
Exactly. It's a beautiful 9-month calendar that we have set in front of us. And as athletes, I mean, we can just look at it and we can just go out and we can try and compete in all the great meets possible and just do the best we can to get in good form and then just go make the most of it. Cause that's really what this year is going to be all about. And so that's really exciting for me. So I just hope that they all do go smoothly. None of them get canceled. They all happen successfully. And I think, I mean, we've been living in a time these past few years, essentially since we did the podcast, where it feels like every year things get a little bit crazier. You know, do you guys know what I mean in terms of just the performances get more impressive at the top end? The young kids get younger and faster.
Oh, we now have another good one we should do for the Christmas thing. We should follow our wish list up with one prediction for next year.
Prediction? Do you like that? And I think it's probably going to continue this coming year. I don't know if it's going to, I guess it's impossible to predict when like things will slow down eventually if they ever do. But I think it's with no major championships next year, things are going to be pretty crazy. I think people are going to run just really fast times, and there's going to be really exciting races at the Diamond League and the Comm Games and Europeans, which, I mean, all these are I mean, these are all actually amazing championships. So it is very exciting to not have this one thing and have it spread across, I think, this bigger calendar after you've had all these past years of kind of, you know, a bit of a cycle on repeat. I think it will be quite refreshing. So yeah, that's not really a wish, but I think you guys know what I mean. So yeah, a prediction though. This is a good one.
Yeah, a prediction for a singular performance, I guess. Not time or race or person or any of the above at any point during the year.
The thing that I love about predictions is that you can just say whatever you want and it doesn't matter. I'm trying to think about one related to the 5K. I could see, oh, dude, I want to say I could see the 5K world record going down. That's my prediction.
That was mine too.
Really?
Well, I mean, it was one of mine. You can have it though. Who?
By who? Now that's a tougher question. That's a tougher prediction because I think that we exist in a time right now where so many people have run in the 1240s, which in the past couple of years, which is maybe 10, 15 years ago, maybe in the EPO era, people were doing that more commonly, but in more recent memory, that's last year and the last 2 years have been pretty crazy. It felt like, at least, especially with people that we know, which is a weird thing because now it's like a lot of people that we know a little bit too well. And dude, it's not like everyone always has the fairy tale where they get better and better every year. But I think when you have a pool of people that are all have the bar so high, then the potential for them just to have that special day, which is what it takes ultimately, and but someone just pops off, I think it happened. So I don't know if, dude, who's going to do it? I want to say Andreas, just because I love him. But the thing is, like, him.
12:44 solo? Not that much of a stretch to go. I mean, 10
it
seconds.
Isn't,
10
it is and it isn't.
Yeah, 10 seconds is a lot.
Especially 10 seconds at that, like, pointy end of the.
Not 13 to 12:50.
Yeah, 12:44 it gets harder and harder.
12:34.
But
I think 7:17 Jakob could do it. If he can become the 7:17 runner again, no problem.
Dude.
He can run 12:34.
Yeah, especially with just some good pacemaking, he could probably go out and do it. I think, especially for the other guys, if there was a potential race where people are really going for it. I mean, the people that really go for it in the 5K, you think of especially some of the really good Ethiopians, like a Yomif or an Aragawi. If you have those guys doing what they can do at the front of a race, but then you actually have people able to follow them, then it can happen. A la Hagos Gebrewet. Was that 2 years ago?
Yeah, and also.
Yeah, like that type of performance. I mean, he was right there at the world record. I could see that happening this year if a meet can just set it up right, get the right characters, and just have the right conditions. 5K world record going down. Which, like in my head, the 5K and the 10K world records are essentially always untouchable, which is weird because I don't even like, I think it's a thing when you grow up loving, like being so obsessed with, you know, I was obsessed with Bekele when I grew up because he had the world records and he was the best in the world. In my head, he's like still the world record holder. I know Cheptegei has them and he's won a bunch of gold medals and he deserves everything, but I think it's just because like we're older now. But they always have seemed so untouchable. But yeah, I think it can be done.
I think 2026, the year that 8 minutes gets broken by a non-African.
In the steeplechase.
Yeah. And the 2 mile, probably. But yes, the steeplechase.
I love that. Is that going to be you? Is that your goal?
I just think they got so close.
You can't do wishes that you can make come true. That's kind of unfair.
Yeah, I didn't say who it was going to be.
Hey, it's not a wish,
well,
it's a prediction.
Yeah, I know, but
this is a prediction.
It's a prediction, but I mean, I can see that becoming a reality, and I could see George, you know, doing that. So
your prediction is a non-African breaking 8 minutes in the steeple for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
What was the times last year? How close did
Fruity ran 8:01 and Ruchi
ran. Yeah, pretty close.
Ruchi ran 8:03.
I like forgot about that. That's crazy, and they look so good.
And that was as close as anyone's got since Evan in 2015 or something. So,
dude, in my dreams, Evan never fell, and then he ran like 7:58 or 57.
And I think it happens because Evan retired in honor of his legacy, I think it happens the year he retires.
Yeah, I'd be special. Yeah.
Good. Ollie, you got anything? Think the mile world record's got a chance?
My prediction is that the 1500 meter world record goes.
Whoa. Dude, and that's a big
my
one.
My prediction is it's not Jakob.
Is Jakob in the race?
Well, after seeing what Habs, that 327 from Habs, and knowing how hard that record is, but seeing how people are getting so close to that, I just feel like someone could just come out and break it in an insane race where all the elements are aligned, like great conditions, great pacing, a great field, and it's just that the momentum is there. But I don't think it'll be Jakob. I think it could be somebody else.
That's a good one.
I think if that record gets broken in any situation, it has to be 2026, because I think somebody going into world or going into the Olympics, they're not peaking for breaking a world record. I mean, I know Jakob goes for those world records, but he's at that level where he's always kind of hitting the line between, you know, being a world record chaser and then obviously focusing on worlds or Olympics, and he can do that. But a lot of other runners probably can't do that like he can. And I think 26 is going to be a year where somebody can come out and be training crazy. Everything's aligning. They're doing great. And it's just, they hit that mark. And they can do it in the middle of the year or even earlier. And then the rest of the year, if they're injured or if they just are completely cooked from training, you know, I think that would be the year to do it, because it would still gain a lot of attention, even at the end of the year with Ultimate Chance. A world record like that would be a pretty crazy thing. So I think 26, I'm predicting that the 15 record could go. So
I like that we all just predicted that like fast times would be running all our events.
Yeah. But I think it could, I mean.
Not like, very original.
Yeah.
seeing Yard run so close to it with Jakob in Eugene for the mile makes me believe that there are going to be performances like that. And we've seen already that even with Jakob not in the races, those performances are happening. So I think that the accumulation of those kind of elements are going to create a pretty crazy race in the 15 at some point. So yeah. I would like to be in that race, because then I could run fast. But yeah, I think it could happen.
It's an interesting one. Do they have pacing at Ultimate? Do you know? Probably not, right?
Surely not.
No, I don't think they will. No.
It's like the week after the Diamond League final.
Okay.
It'd be like Paris or Oslo or Monaco. It would be one of those races, and they'll just go for it.
I think
the same with the 5K.
I think because there's no world champs, if someone can really get in their shape. Because when you mentioned 343 and Eugenio, I think that's the only good thing about having races like after world champs is like sometimes at the very end of the season, you actually saw that, people actually were in like this crazy shape, but like they didn't express it yet. Whereas with the world champs at the end of the year, like maybe people will be in that shape, but then they won't be in those time trial style races. So I think that is one thing that will benefit this year a lot. And when you initially said that, I was inclined to kind of disagree, because in my head, I'm like, well, if Jakob couldn't do it and he's so good and he went for it so many times. But I do think now, because there are so many 20-year-olds and even younger that have run around 330, it is not crazy to say that like they could just improve to 326 or quicker. I think it's not. I think it is within reason.
I just think 325 sounds made up.
Yeah.
It sounds insane.
The wild thing is if you look at El Garouche's career, which I think, I mean, I'm not going to accuse anyone of drugs on air, but there's certain people who I think it's really misleading to compare like yourself to or to compare other people to. But if you look at how many times he ran 329 in his career, then you can be like, oh yeah, it makes sense that he ran 326. You know what I mean? Like he was, the amount of times that he was breaking 330, I don't know what the numbers are, but I think it was some wild stats. So it really does take, I think, that level athlete. But also, yeah, I think we are running in a slightly different time right now. So maybe it's not a fair comparison.
Or it goes the opposite way. It's gone like this, like momentum of just running fast, everyone's running sub 330. And then all of a sudden now it's gone back to tactical racing, 334s, 333s with crazy kicks, because people are now realizing that everyone can now run sub 330. So I'm going to, you know,
yeah,
you can
see that. As a well. Funnier prediction would have been no one breaks 330 in 2026.
It's the slowest year.
Honestly, that could be another prediction. Like, you just, like, the way things have progressed, you could see it just going back to tactical racing.
Well, unfortunately, I mean, every Diamond League.
It's entertaining.
Once the world lead / world record / national records. So
yeah.
While they reign supreme.
That's true, but some people aren't going with paces now. People set up pacing and then they just don't go with it. So
you're right. It still takes a very certain type of athlete to go with the paces. It's not as simple as just having a pacer. But yeah, if Grand Slam had been successful, then that's a reality that we could have been talking about. If they had taken over and all the big meets were Grand Slam, then you could have predicted that. But with the Diamond League, I think we're going to see a lot of fast times this year, because that's what they like. They like the numbers. They like the big, shiny numbers with world record over them.
The big, shiny numbers.
Yeah, and a national record. They love that. So, yeah. Is there anything else that we have for our beautiful fans on this Christmas day?
That was a nice little summary.
Yeah. Well,
that's everything I got for Christmas. Or it's all I want for Christmas.
That's all we want for Christmas.
Oh, I have an Ollie question for you two.
Mm-hmm.
Christmas, well, obviously we runners, professional runners, Christmas Day workout or Christmas Day long run or Christmas Day regular run, what would you prefer?
This is a great question.
This is great.
I have an answer. I'm a big Christmas morning workout guy because this is just pure nostalgia. So growing up, the way it would work with Sean Sweat Sydney is that he would have on like sessions on like Tuesday, Thursday during the week, and we would be in the afternoon, evening. So we would train at 4 or 6 p.m. depending on the time of year. But then he would always have like a morning squad, which was more like people that had work and stuff, and they would go at 6 a.m. And then on Christmas Day, if it fell on one of those session days, he would still do the morning squad, but no evening squad. So on Christmas Day, sometimes I would go and do the 6 a.m. workout. And I just have such fond memories of like getting up early, Christmas Day excitement, going to the park and like doing like, it was, you know, a fun, chill workout with the guys or with the squad.
I think there's something about a feeling of accomplishment to start the day of a hard-ish workout, maybe. But one where there's some good vibes to kick off the day with the bros. That sounds like a pretty good. That or regular run. Long run, nah.
Let's not do that on Christmas Day.
So I'm going long run.
Really?
And I'll tell you why. There has to be under certain conditions. The conditions are, it's a long run, but it's not a crazy long run. And it has to be in great weather, in a pretty cool place to do it, and everyone's there. And we all have a little bit of a Christmas kind of theme going. I think that is pretty fun because long run is like kind of, I experience long run as like a kind of a journey. Like it's like a long thing. Like you're kind of going through sections of the run where you have certain conversations or you're in certain places. So it changes in time. But having that during Christmas with, you know, your mates, going for a run, maybe it's along the coastline or up in the mountains, and you're breaking it up with like fun Christmas stuff. Maybe there's somebody riding with you with a speaker playing Christmas music, people wearing, you know, Christina hats or something like that. I kind of like that vibe.
Has this ever actually happened? Or is this just like a...
I love the picture that you're painting. Right?
This picture you're painting, has this happened yet?
This isn't just another option from a workout, because I'd also love a workout. I wouldn't do a regular run. If I could pick those two options and it aligned in my calendar. Yeah. I think it would make, I know the three of us, I wouldn't put long runs as like our favorite thing, but if it was put in that way, I think it'd be a very enjoyable run for something that we don't prioritize as being one of our favorite things, but we could make it pretty special in that kind of setting.
I agree.
If that makes sense.
If there was some... If there was like some year where like for some reason we like had to be on training camp during Christmas, I could see that happening.
Yeah, making fun out of it. But it'd have to hit those requirements. Other than that, I would definitely go the workout. Yeah.
Yeah, I am very happy that I don't have double threshold. I was like looking at it, dude, if I had double threshold on Christmas, I would probably, I don't know what I would do, but that would be...
Would you do it?
Mm. I mean, yeah, of course I would. I mean, it's not that bad, but that would just be like the worst. So I'm very happy about that.
But day after Christmas,
that's gonna be fun.
But some Boxing Day double T for Morgs.
We love that.
Love that,
guys. Thank you so much for joining us again for another year. This is gonna be our last episode released in the year of 2025. We wish you all a Merry Christmas, a Happy Hanukkah, whatever it is that you celebrate, or if you don't celebrate at all, just have a lovely, relaxing, hopefully some more downtime with your friends,
happy
family,
festive,
people that love you. We've had a great time with you all this year, and as you can tell from our wishes, we're excited to keep it going next year. So thank you guys so much for listening, and we look forward to seeing you guys all again next week. See ya.